Welcome to our podcast,
Band BFFs,
the podcast where we make your music selection less complicated.
On today's episode, we're going to be discussing Whispers in the Wind by Robert Sheldon. Cheers to starting the conversation.
This piece is a gorgeous grade one on the Texas PML.
Super pretty.
Very pretty. Great for teaching lyrical style and phrasing. It's in the key of concert B flat throughout. It's about 2 minutes in length. No split clarinet or trumpet parts. The low brass part is the trombone, euphonium, bassoon part is the same. Very limited percussion. So it's great if you have a small percussion section or if you pair it with a piece, another piece that has more intensive percussion requirements. Just bells, suspended cymbal, timpani. And certainly you can double like on marimba, something like that if you have too many players.
Yes. So this piece, as Laura mentioned, is just absolutely gorgeous, and it's a great teaching tool for lyrical playing and also like phrase breath markings. Like you're
going to
breathe,
breathing,
yes,
and
you're going to breathe on the odd measures, you're going to breathe on the even measures. So it's a good teaching tool throughout any point in the year so that your kids can really learn how to be more musical and play things that are more sustained and also like how to balance and how to listen for those moving lines and things like that.
And we were just discussing, like, this is, you know, I tend to shy away from doing things that are very lyrical and pretty with a younger band. But if you have a really strong younger band, the piece is 2 minutes long. It might be something that you try at a fall concert or a winter concert, or certainly with a varsity band, great early in the year to get them thinking with these longer phrases and like Katie mentioned, balancing and all of that. It's so pretty.
Yeah, but, and it's well written too.
And it's there. No individual part is technically challenging at all. It really is all about the phrasing and the balance.
Yep. So at the very beginning, it starts off with Mark Tree and the low people come in like tuba, barry, sax, bass, clarinet, along with the flute. And then you get this like beautiful little first moment of line from alto sax and trumpet. And then you get the same low people play 4-1. And this motif comes over and over and over in the piece. 4-1. So you're teaching the kids four leads to one. And you can teach about like mini crescendos, you know, where you're going to lead from 4-2-1 with just a little bit more air so that the note is always leading somewhere.
That is
super important in a piece like this where people have whole notes and things. You want to make sure that everything is going somewhere.
I also really like that the way he has written this, almost everywhere in this piece where you have an instrument grouping that has this 4-1, there is another instrument grouping that
that's
has
finishing.
Two half notes. Mm-hmm. Yes. So it's always overlapping, which I'm that's just smart writing.
It is. Yeah. And that way, if you have young players that like don't really understand, like my half note has to go all the way to the bar line, you've got something else kind of covering
that's right.
it up.
That's right.
Yeah. But this is great, like just the best teaching piece for this, for sure. Once we're in measure three, we have the same little line, except now it's more like the tenor voices. So horn, trombone, euphonium, bassoon, tenor sax, clarinet.
Mm-hmm.
They come in on beat three and do a little line. And then clarinets take over the melody going into measure five. They have the melodic line with the horn and the saxophone doing kind of like a little counter melody line. The trombone and euphonium and bassoon part is, again, fairly easy. And it's like a lot of just like F and E flat and G. There's a couple.
The range is really simple.
The range is
very
really
attainable.
Easy, so that way when you're playing this piece, you're not focusing on like technical things.
Mm-hmm.
You're focusing on, okay. And I just played this piece with my band at my fall concert. That's why we're doing it today. Cause it was a good teaching piece for me for teaching the kids like, okay, we're going to play these eight measures. Which part do you hear moving? And then it was like, was your part moving? No, then you're not the melody.
That's right.
So I kind of used it at the beginning of the year to teach kids like what to listen for. Instead of always having to spell it out for them,
mm-hmm.
like here's who you balance to. But again, we also like talked a lot about how you make an accompaniment part not be boring.
Yeah.
Because that's a hard skill for young players, right? Like yes. they see like a bunch of whole notes and they're like, well, I'm just going to play some whole notes, but whole notes can be beautiful too, right?
Yes.
So anyways, back to the piece, this, you know, whole idea, the counter melody line again with horn and sax, they've got half notes. And then every once in a while, they have quarter notes, 3, 4, 1. And so when you have those parts, you want to bring that out more from the mix than the melody, because that's like the little part that's moving it into the next measure. Then it leads right back into the clarinet melody. And then the clarinet melody has a dotted half note in measure 8. So then the tenor line with tenor sax, trombone, euphony, and bassoon have this little like scalar moment where they go F, E flat, D, C, B flat. So they're leading us into the next moment. Then clarinet takes over again. And then trumpet to alto and tenor sax have another one of those little quarter note lines going into measure 11 while the clarinets are kind of holding long notes. And then the whole band is kind of building up into measure 12, where the flute, oboe, and trumpet take over the melody with the clarinet.
So in this whole section, one of the things, like a rehearsal strategy, Katie talked about already, you know, trying to get the kids' ears to the moving part. So a rehearsal strategy that I have used with a piece like this, first of all, they're moving at all different times. So like you may have a part that goes quarter, half, quarter, and another part that goes half, half. So you're hearing the notes change on every beat. You can certainly bop it, which I think is great for vertical alignment. But sometimes in a younger band, if you are bopping a piece that you eventually want to be played very smooth and connected, that can have the opposite effect that you want. One of the things I have done with a piece like this is told my kids, okay, we're going to go this 8-measure phrase, and I only want you to play when you have a quarter note or an eighth note. That's it. You're only going to play when you have a quarter note or an eighth note. So it might be that they're entering at an odd time, like they're playing on beat 1 and beat 4, but then you clearly hear where the moving part is throughout right. the whole entire ensemble.
Yeah.
And play it the way you would play it in your music, so long connected, but then you end up hearing those moving notes throughout the whole line. And that can sometimes be helpful to kind of draw the band's ear to where it needs to go when the full band is playing.
Yep, that's a great idea. Back at 13, so now the melody is again in trumpet, flute, and clarinet. Not clarinet, sorry, flute and oboe. Now the clarinets have gone to what I call a doodly part. So now they're just doing like little arpeggios underneath, but they're not hard. G-E-G-E-G-E. It's not like it's difficult. Right. And then they're part of the accompaniment. And then the trombone euphonium is kind of doing the same thing. Horn has the same little counter melody line, but now with tenor sax. And then alto sax takes an even further back step in the balance of things. But there's like a good 5 different parts going on at 13. So you really have to teach the kids how to prioritize.
That's right.
And like teaching that skill can be difficult, you know, especially when it's like a lot of 7th graders where last year they just tried to play almost everything like pretty strong all yeah. the time, you know. So now, and it's not just melody or not melody. It's like melody and then like counter melody and then like maybe a little counter melody light and then an accompaniment line and then a bass line, you know, there's like
and
there's
we'll
a lot
numbers.
More things to listen for.
We'll use numbers to prioritize that stuff. This is you know, something that I got from David Dunham years ago where okay, you're the melody, your part is a 10. All right, you are the counter melody, you're a 7, your accompaniment, you're a 3. Okay, you're a counter melody, but you're the harmony, you're a 6, right, mm-hmm. underneath that. Or your harmony to the melody, you're an 8. So just kind of layering it in those numbers so the kids kind of, they understand that. 10 is the melody, and where am I in reference
yeah.
to that?
Yep. So we're continuing on with that same melodic line. Then it gets a little dotted quarter note. That's the most difficult rhythm in the whole piece. At 18, 1, 2, 3, and 1. And I called that whispers in the wind when I was teaching it. I have no idea if Mr. Sheldon wanted that, But that's what Miss Lewis did.
Yeah, it seems to me like you probably did.
I mean, it makes a lot of sense. So when that part came back over and over, I was like, well, we got to hear the Whispers in the Wind part. It's the title. So that's, you can steal that if you want. Oh, by the way, we forgot to mention, this is a new PML grade one piece in Texas for this year. So this would be a great choice if you're looking for something for your upcoming program. So the horn and alto line get a bit more exciting and fun at 17. Their counter melody line is a little bit just more eighth note-y and active. And so you'll want to bring that part out as well. At 20, the tenor voices take over the melody. Then there's an accelerando. So, you know, just a little bit. They're going to help pump up the tempo a tiny bit. They have quarter notes, so they're going to watch you. Yep. And so there's an A natural right before you hit the 21. And so that note was pretty, like, you know, we just got to make sure we're all the way in on
that
A
it's
natural.
A leading tone. Yep. And there's no percussion helping with time here. Percussion is even is either doing melodic or they're doing the wind.
Yeah. A little timpani roll or a little suspended cymbal roll. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's no the pulses from the director and the children. So at 21, now that, like I mentioned, the tenor line has the melody plus French horn. And then flute now has this cutesy little like 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2. And clarinet has it too. You want to make sure that part is not overwhelming, just because, you know, you're going to have a lot of numbers of flutes and oboes. So bring that down.
I love this low voice lead here.
It's so pretty.
It's really pretty. It's in a very comfortable range. Like, you know, Katie talked about that earlier. This is not an extreme range for any instrument. So you can really focus on making your most beautiful sound.
Sounds. Yeah.
And I really like that. I think sometimes with groups, we get so caught up in, wow, this sounds cool and this is really active, that players end up sacrificing their tone quality, which we never want them to do. But this tenor line is beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
And like my mentor, Melody Amalo, always says, this piece makes you sound older. Mm-hmm. Because if you play it well, because it's in such a nice range, mm-hmm. it's just going to make you sound just professional, you know? So I think it's a great choice. At 22, the bass line has this cool little moment that you'll want to bring out a little bit while the melody is chilling on a dotted half note. 23, we're back to the melodic line. And then at 24, the bass line gets another little cool, like, conversational mm-hmm. moment with the melody. So I always like to bring that out whenever tuba gets something fun. I'm like, let's bring that out, you know. At 25, they're continuing on that melody. There is a moment where they're going to all want to take a breath in 25 because it's a half note at the end of a slur. And then they're going to do quarter notes going into measure 26. You're not going to want everybody to breathe there because then it's going to be this huge gap.
The alto is the only thing that plays on beat two after that half note.
Right.
Everyone else in the band has a half note and alto plays on beat two. So it's going to sound really choppy and exposed if you...
So we talked about some of you are going to breathe in 24 after your half note. And some of you can breathe in 25 after half note. So just, again, taking the opportunity to teach them about, you know, like special breathing considerations mm-hmm. and where you're going to do that. The alto line then takes over, as Laura mentioned, at 25. And it's really beautiful. That's like a tiny little moment for them. Flute's a little bit important at that moment, too. And then we're leading into 27, where there's now a rallentando. So we're getting a little bit slower again. The trumpets get the leading line here. And then 28, the trumpets take over the melody from the beginning. And now we're back to our first tempo. And it sounds just like the beginning, except instead of clarinets having the melody, it's trumpets. The tubas and the bass line are doing
the
same thing.
The
little flute and clarinet part.
Yep.
Yeah. The little accompaniment cutesy part. And then 32, horn and alto get this cool moment with like a little scale. 1, 2, 3, and 4. 1, 2, 3. So just bringing that part out makes it sound a bit older while trumpets are just chilling on a dotted half note on their melody.
At the end of their phrase, yes.
Yep. And then we have another rallentando, the same like phrase consideration at 35 where everybody's going to want to breathe after the half note. So just make sure, again, you've talked about some people get to breathe in 32. Some people can breathe in 33. Mm-hmm. So that way it's not a big gap. There's another rallentando at 34. And we have our only accents in the whole piece in this measure. It's just a little like last moment. I told the kids statement, it's like a big, it's just a statement on three and four. Three, four, one. And then we're getting softer and slower. And then at 36, we've hit exactly like the very beginning. Back to the tempo 80 from the beginning again. Starts out with the mark tree again and the flute. And the bass line, trumpet, and everybody. I call this like the sighing moment. They come in on beat three and go, three, one, three. Just kind of sounds like a whisper in the wind, you know? And then the ending is exactly like the beginning. The last little moment of melody is at 39 with the clarinets. They go, three, four, one. And everybody's got a chord for the most part. And then the whole band does come in for a final fermata chord at 41. And just that skill in itself, right? Like you've slowed down so much and they all have to
sustain.
They all have to look up at you. We all have to start at the same time. Our chord has to be perfectly balanced.
We have to breathe together.
We have to all breathe together to enter together. Yeah. So just like those skills that sometimes I think we all take for granted, like, oh, the kids know how to do that. No, they don't.
Not always.
Like, we didn't teach them, you know. And so this is a great piece, and it's just gorgeous. It will make your band sound old. It will make them sound mature as long as you, you know, as long as they have developed tones because of the range.
Yeah.
It's just a really, really great piece to show off your lyrical playing. So we hope that you will consider programming Whispers in the Wind in the future. And thank you for joining us on this episode of
Band BFFs.